I leave every Monday and fly somewhere. Tomorrow morning, as always, I'll be going to O'Hare Field to fly somewhere across America to preach. I'm sure that I know the airports of this nation better than I know the area in which I live. There is one airport I hate to go to. Not because I don't like the airport. It is one of the loveliest in America. One of the two or three biggest in the world. But I hate to go to the Atlanta airport. You know why I hate to go? Because as you drive or taxi out to the runway, or as you come into land, just across a field is the old Atlanta airport. Now, doesn't mean a thing to most of you, but I've been in that old Atlanta airport so many times. I've prepared sermons, called in Sunday school lessons, won folks to Christ for many, many years. I'm sure that a quarter of a century. And in the South, you go South, you always stop in Atlanta. One of Dr. Robertson's favorite sayings is, when he dies and goes to heaven, he knows he'll have a layover in Atlanta. It's true. But I'm a nostalgic kind of person. I hate to throw away an old pair of shoes, and I still have suits that I wore 20 years ago. I still own the overcoat I wore 23 years ago when I became pastor of this church, or bought shortly. I didn't own one when I came here. Didn't need one. I lived down in the United States then. I didn't need one. But I'm nostalgic. And that airport holds so many memories to me. I hate to see it. All over this Calumet region, or any big eastern or northern, or any big city of any kind, the downtown areas are deteriorating. And all over Gary, and downtown, and downtown Hammond, and the downtown of most inner cities are old, unused buildings. I'm talking about the old Walgreen drugstore down the street. I'm talking about Jack Fox men's store down the street here. I'm talking about Goldblatt's down on Holman Avenue and other stores, buildings that are now empty that once housed successful businesses. 'Tis a sad sight to look at them and remember. Now, there are other buildings that were abandoned for a while, but they're being used again. I pitied them when they were abandoned. And then I saw new ownership come in and take over the buildings. And I think, a smile on the face of the building. As that building that had, are you listening? That building that had been abandoned now was being used again. I'm talking about the Stoltz drugstore over here that now houses our Spanish church. I'm talking about Gene's restaurant that now houses our deaf department. I'm talking about the Berry building over here that we use for Sunday school. I'm talking about the SD Sleep Furniture Company that is now used for our annex across the street. I'm talking about the Mandel Furniture Company, which is now used as our rescue mission. I'm talking about the 6-story Seifer Furniture Building, which is now used for our B and C Sunday schools. I'm talking about Thurston's Taters over here that is now being used as a part of our great work here. Those buildings were abandoned for a while, and I pitied them, but now under new ownership, they still are being used. Then, still sadder, is that building damaged beyond repair, that building that will never be used again. I'm talking about the building that, like the insurance building, I've forgotten the name of it, down here on State Street, gutted by fire, and it stands there, stands there. I haven't been bad enough to know where it's there, still there or not, but will never be used again, beyond repair, and never be used again. To me, that's so sad. Once they were alive with activity, once people were warmed by their walls and protected from the elements by their roofs and by their walls, once people lived and loved in those buildings, once they were useful to mankind, but something happened, and they were destroyed, and and will never, never be used again. And yet there is a sadder sight. You say, what are you talking about? What sadder building sight could be than a building that has been gutted by fire or been destroyed by wind, maybe, and the building will never be used again? There is something sadder to me, and that is that foundation that was well laid and the building was begun yet never finished. I'd 10,000 times rather be a building that is not used, a building that's gutted, that was once used, than be one that's never been used at all. And out in Lansing, on the corner of Wentworth and Borman Expressway out there, for years there stood some unfinished apartments. Remember those unfinished apartments out there? And the foundation laid, and some of the wall up, but no windows, and no roof. And no little children ever kept warm. And no family gathered around the dinner table to enjoy a meal. And nobody ever rested on a bed that was housed by those buildings that were just there. Now to me, that's the saddest of all. They never felt the feet of little children. And they never gave warmth to a family. They never housed medicine for the ill or furniture for enjoyment of others or clothing for comfort and delight. I say again, a 10,000 times will it be a building that's gutted by fire and for which is felt pity by all who pass by than to be just a foundation that's never been used at all. I am best of all. There are buildings in this downtown area, never be used again. Why? Something's happened to destroy them, never be used again. Then there are buildings that have been destroyed that will be used again. They'll not be used what they once were used for. It may have been a new furniture store or store for new furniture years ago, and then it was sold out and was empty for a while, and maybe old secondhand furniture is there now, but it's being used again. Maybe it's a warehouse now, but it's being used again. It's not what it used to be, but thank God it's not empty anymore, and it's not sitting there useless, and that's sad. But I tell you the thing that I like to drive by this old church here. I love this place. I like to drive by this old church here and realize that it's been here for 95 years, and it's always been used those 95 years for the thing for which it was built. I mean, the gospel of Christ goes from its pulpit, and the love of Christ is in its pews, and the bereaved are comforted, and the weak are strengthened, and the saved are lost. After 95 years, never wavered, it's still being used for that purpose that it was made for. Now, go up and down the streets of this city, and you'll find, here's a building that's never been used for anything else but a church, and may God make it always so. I hate to see an old empty church building. I hate to see a building that once housed saints and sinners and an altar that once felt the tears of newborn babes in Christ, and a building that once, where once the Word of God was taught. I hate to see it empty, but may it always be so. But this building right here has never wavered. This building for 95 years on this same old corner. There's been the old First Baptist Church of Hammond here heralding forth the message of truth. And there's some buildings that were empty for a while. The SD Sleep Furniture Building was empty for a while. Now it's being used again. And other buildings, there's an Army Navy store down here where there used to be a department store. Are you listening? Used to be a department store. And it's not a big, nice department store like it used to be, but it'll be used again. I think the happiest building in Hammond right now is the Goldblatt's building because it's going to be used again, I think. Has a sign out in front. And the other day, I passed by the Goldblatt building. It's clapping its hands and shouting and saying, I'm going to be used again. I'm going to be used again. Now, it'll never be a Goldblatt store again. Never be as busy or important as the Goldblatt store. But there'll be a store there of some kind. It may be a warehouse. I don't know. It'll be used again. And then there are tragic, tragic, tragic buildings that'll never be used again. No way to repair them beyond repair. Gutted by fire, and there the remains stand. That's tragic. And then, of course, the most tragic of all is that building that never has been used. It doesn't look as bad as the one that's old, gutted by fire, but sadder to me. Now, what is God telling us, and what does it say? I almost read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. And of the foundation can no man lay but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. and then build upon it gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, and so forth. But, I'm saying, all over this building this morning, there are people like these buildings. You see, the Bible calls my body a house or a temple. And so, all over this room this morning, there are people like this building. Some are like this building right here. And I'm so glad. My goal for every single one of you, my goal for every little baby that's in our nursery this morning, is that little baby's lips will never utter a curse word. My goal for every little child that sits in the beginner apartment and sings, Jesus loves me, as Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the master passed that way, looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today. Everyone, my goal for every one of them is that those little hands will never take that which is wrong to take. And those little feet will never tread a path that's wrong to tread. And those little eyes will never see that which is wrong to see. And those little minds will never think that which is wrong to think. And those little heart will never have a motive that's unholy. And that little body will be clean and virgin and pure when it walks down the aisle and gives itself to the God's choice of a mate. That's my hope. I want every single young person in Hammond Baptist School, and God knows it's true, I want every one of you to never know what liquor tastes like. I want you to live and die and say, I don't know what it tastes like. I want you to live and die and say, I never know what tobacco tastes like. I want you to live and die and always be able to say, I never got to the right or left. I never was like the old torn down building, used at the end, but not like it once was used. But thanks be to God, like the old First Baptist Church of Hammond, I've stayed on course all these years. I don't think I have any greater joy. I love to see people saved, but I don't think I have any greater joy than to see young folks, young lady bride, walk down that aisle with a body as white and spotless as her gown. And a young man standing beside me that I pastored for his entire lifetime. I'm now performing weddings for people who were born after I came here. And just realize that maybe I had just a little part. And realize that young lady is pure. I love to stand up here and see their lips touch for the first time. Like they stand over here. And the fellows say to me often, Preacher, we've lived what you preached. We've had the same goal. I got a letter this week and they heard me talk about Cindy. I stood up here before she got married and she said, Dad, she said, I'm going to marry in a few minutes. And she said it'll be the first time I ever kissed a boy. I wanted to have a tongue talking hissy. And I got this week and said, I heard got your tape. And I'm a teenage girl. I heard you the first time tell about Cindy. And the little lady said, that's been my goal. And now she said, in a few days, we're going to get married. And she said, I'll kiss him at the altar. It'll be the first time. Oh, listen, I think this building here, if buildings can talk, and certainly they can. And if buildings can think, certainly they can. I think sometimes this building must put its thumbs underneath its suspenders and throw its chest out and say, I've always been used. I've always been used. And that's what I want for you. And, by the way, I don't intend to stop preaching that either. If I'm the only person in this church thinks you ought to walk the aisle with your lips never having touched another boy's lips or girl's lips, if the deacons don't believe it, and you ought to if you're the deacon, if you don't believe it, and the teachers don't believe it, and the church doesn't, I don't care. I'll preach it as long as I stand behind this pulpit. I want the best for our young people, the very best. And I'm saying, I want our young folks to be temples of God like this building. Never veered to the right, never veered to the left. But I must hasten to go to the next building, those that were once used and not now used. I'm talking to some people here in this room who've not been damaged beyond repair. Oh, yes, the winds of adversity have blown your way and the fires of persecution and temptation have come and you're not what you used to be. You're like the building that stands unused, but there's still a foundation there, and there's still some girders there, and there's still some good walls there, and there are dozens of people in this room this morning who once were used for God. You once taught a Sunday school class. You once read this book. You once lived on your knees. You once won souls. You once had a bus route. You once racked you for God. But the devil came and he tempted you and lured you to sin, and you, like a building that's been blown to the winds, all of a sudden are not used again. But I've got some good news for you. You can be used again. Oh, I guess I quote this song more than all of the songs. If I could sing it, I would. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands some beauty may remain. That may be that you won't be a bank again, but I bet you could be a good old warehouse for God. It may be that you'd never be a nice department store, but I bet you could be maybe an army surplus store for God. And God wants to remodel you and use you again. All over this building this morning, there are people who will never be what they used to be. I mean, you'll never be that big, nice, beautiful store for exclusive clothing for men or women or beautiful furnishings. You'll never be what you once were. But all over this building this morning, there are people who let the devil rack their lives and break their windows and sag their roof and bend their walls. But thank God, the foundation is held firm. And they walk down these aisles and they confess their sin. And though maybe they're not what they used to be, blessed be God, they're still being used. And I'm proud of them. I could wish you'd never tasted the dregs of sin. But if you have, there's nothing you can do about it. But God can use you again. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strand that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands some beauty may remain. And I'll guarantee you this, being an old warehouse for God beats being a big, bright, shiny building for the devil. I mean, being used again. Listen, there's not a joy that's known to mankind and like the joy that comes to a person that once was used for God and once was a nice, brand new, shiny vessel for God, who's been stained and tarnished by sin and then once again is used. I'm thinking of a man in this church. Once was a deacon in this church. Dear friend of mine, the devil came and sold him a wooden nickel and deceived him. The man went to deep sin, and for years I prayed for him. I have a list of all the ex-deacons here in our church who've gone to sin, and I pray for them every day I'm home. And I'm not going to quit. Men with whom I've sat planning the building of these buildings, men with whom I've walked up and down fields trying to lay out a Baptist city, men with whom I've toured a college trying to pray down $2.5 million to build a college, men with whom I've drawn up budgets for 23 years who believe the devil. And they're in sin, some of them. And I'll not let the devil have them without praying them back to God. I remember one night that deacon came in the hallway. And he said, "Preacher," I talked to him about 11:15. We went to my study, and I said, "Yes." He said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm sorry. I've done wrong. Oh, preacher, I miss you." He threw his arms around me, and tears dropped onto my shoulder. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've been so far in sin." And he said, "Can God forgive me?" "Oh, can God forgive you? Is water wet? Is the sun hot? Is the Pope a Catholic?" "Well, of course God can forgive you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." "But you say, preacher, you know what I've done?" "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." "But you say, I've been to the bottom." "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." We knelt, and that deacon with whom I had served for years came back to God, ex-deacon. And then he stood up and looked at me, and he said, "Preacher, could God use me again?" And I said, "Could he? Well, of course God can use you again." And he didn't get on the deacon board again. Never will be. But about 2 weeks after that, he drove an old bus down in front of the church. Had a bus route. And I was out in the front when he unloaded that bus that morning. And he looked at me and he grinned and said, "Preacher, God's using me again." Yeah. I feel sorry for the building. But 10,000 times, really be a remodel of Goldblatt. Be a foundation that's never been built on yet. But then I want to say, all over this morning, there are some buildings that have been gutted. But I had rather be, I mean it, Dr. Evan, I had rather have known the blessings of God. I had rather have tasted God's good gift. I would rather have been used of God and then have the devil wreck my life than to never be used of God. Shakespeare said, it's better to have loved than law and lost than never to have loved at all. It's better to have been used of God and not be used of God than to never have been used of God at all. All across this country, I've got friends. Not only do I have the finest, most loving people in the world, but I don't think there's a preacher in the world has as many dear, sweet friends across America as I do. People who love me. And I'm thinking about a preacher down south. Every time I get anywhere near where he is, he drives as far as he has to drive to hear me preach. And he always sits back and cries while I preach. He says, you're the only real preacher left in America today. Smart man, smart man. And anyway, he always cries. And I have 3 suits in my closet at home he bought for me. And he always brings me some Reese's peanut butter cups and uses some fruit. What's the story about that man? He once preached great revivals across this country. I mean citywide campaigns. And the devil came and wrecked his life. And when he was at the bottom of the barrel, he came to me and I loved him. And I stayed beside him through the storm and tried to encourage his heart. And tried to help him rebuild. Now, he'll never preach great revivals again. Ah, but he has precious memories. Precious memories. But the saddest of all is not the one that you think is the saddest. You think the saddest is one that was used and is not used anymore. But I'd hate to be an old foundation somewhere that never had a building. I'd hate to be a building that never had any little feet run across my floor. I'd hate to be a building that never had anybody to feed their bodies at my table. I'd hate to be a building that never had anybody to rest in my bedroom. I'd hate to be a building that never had anybody to be protected from the elements because of my wall and my ceiling and my windows, my roof, never used. And that's the tragedy. Listen, the tragedy in this room this morning is not the building that was once used, that is not used. That's the tragedy, but not the tragedy. The tragedy is the dozens and dozens of respectable people in this room this morning. Nobody ever pities you. Nobody ever says you're a sad case. Nobody ever says, what a tragedy, a wrecked and ruined life. You're saved. You're respectable. You're honest. You come to church, but you're living and dying and never have won a soul to Christ yet. Living and dying and never taught a Sunday school class. Living and dying and never had a bus route. Living and dying and never been used for God. To me, there's nothing quite so sad as that. Now, that's not the ones that you'll lament. Nobody pities you. You don't look repulsive. You're never on a prayer list. And you're shocked when somebody who was used falls, and you're shocked. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I don't pity that little girl. That little girl that once went soul winning. That once was a part of our activities. That once served God and loved Him. But in a moment of weakness, she yielded to the tempter's hands. And then carried for 9 months in her body a little baby that would never have a home. Where mommy and daddy could love it. I pity that young lady. But I don't pity her as much as I pity those of you who are saved but have never done anything for God. I pity that man this morning up here in the rescue mission section. I pity you men. Some of you guys used to go to church. You had families. You got the little children ready for church on Sunday morning. Went to church with them. And you sat in the pew and maybe taught a Sunday school class. Or sang in the choir. Or maybe you're an usher. And the devil came and tempted you and you believed the lies of the devil. Your life was wrecked and ruined. And now your wife and children are separated from you and some of you haven't seen them in years. I pity you. But I don't pity you near as much as I pity these people. Some of them out here in these pews. Who've never known what it is to be used of God. You give me the old gold-black store. You give me the line of buildings down here where Nagdeman's used to be and Woolworth used to be.
and Walgreens used to be. I would rather be an empty, ruined, wrecked, gutted building who's known the joy of holding medicine that gave healing to sick bodies than to be a building that's new and fresh, but it's never been built at all or used at all. This morning I stand here to say, in closing, two or three words. I'm talking this morning to young people. Look at me now. Give me 3 or 4 minutes and I'll be through. I'm talking this morning to young people. I'm talking to you fellows here on the front. I'm talking to these little two girls beside mommy here looking at me, and their eyes are fastened on me. I don't know any sadder thing than to see young ladies grow up in our church, meet me and hug me and kiss me and put pennies under my door and say, Brother Howells, I love you. And then to hear the news that they've been stained with the tempter's breath. I don't know any worse thing than that. Nor do I know any sweeter thing than to have young people, as we do, thank God, all over this country. Yesterday morning, two of our young people, very quietly, without your knowing about it, went to O'Hare Field. Two of our own young people from our church here. One of the dearest, two of the dearest kids you ever met. You didn't know about it. No fanfare. Milwaukee Braves had 10,000 people welcoming them when they lost the World Series, and St. Louis had a parade. But two of our young people yesterday morning went to O'Hare Field, not to fly back to Bob Jones or Tennessee Temple, to fly back to Tokyo, Japan. Said goodbye to their moms and dads and little children. Said goodbye to Mamo and Papo. They left to fly across the ocean to go back to the field where they've served for 5 years already. Friday afternoon, I couldn't get my mind off of them. I picked up the phone and called the family and tried to let them know in some way I loved them. I wish they knew how proud of them I am. I wish you knew the joy of working 23 years in the same place when young folks make you proud of them. There's some in this section up here. There's some over here. There are deacons on our board. This man right here, choir director and others. I was their preacher when they were teenagers and kids. And like the old First Baptist building, they've never veered right. They've never veered left. Right straight down the line. Onward, forward, will of God, plan of God, serving God, loving God, clean and pure. That's what I want for you young people. But I don't love them any more than I love you folks that have been gutted by fire. I don't love them any more than I love you folks who are not being used anymore. Let me tell you some good news. You will never be what you used to be, but bless God, you don't have to continue what you are now. God will use you again. And then to those of you who've been gutted, and it just seems like there's not much left for you, may I congratulate you because of the sweet memories you have. But my heart goes out most of all to those people whose reputations have not been ruined because you've never fallen. You never climbed anywhere to fall from. You've never been gutted by fire because you never had a spiritual wall. You winds have never blown down your structure because you've never had a structure. You'll live. You'll die without ever having any little feet pitter-patter across your floor. I'd rather be a shack, a two-room shack, and have kept somebody warm and have fulfilled the purpose for my life. Don't you think it's time you decided to build those walls? How many of you ever drove down Bowman Expressway and saw those apartment houses out there unfinished? Raise your hand. Did you see them deteriorate? Did you ever look and think they're not doing anything for anybody, but not only are they not doing anything, they never have done anything for anybody. That's the sad part. And to me, that is the saddest building of them all. Father,